We want to recognize all of our moms. And in our church, that means those who, yes, who have physically born children, who have adopted children, and those adult women that have helped raise other people's children. And my perennial person that I think of is Aunt Teresa, who helped to raise Logan. And he needs to be calling you blessed today for all that that you put up with he and Michael over the years. But you're part of that plan. And so we love you and thank God for you, because it really does take all of us, doesn't it? All of us. We need one another to speak into our children's lives. So, you know, God created mothers. He created the family. And on this day, we honor the moms that are here. And so we ask all of our adult women, if you would please stand at this time. Stand up. Okay. Yes, let's give them a hand. All right. I think we can do better than that.
Yeah.
Let's... All right, please remain standing. Now, the people that are around them right now, would you just come and lay hands on those moms around you? Okay, here we go. Dane's trying to put his hand on me. I know I've been like a mother to him over these years. I'm sorry, Pat. we're on the going to be on the fun side of heaven, you know. All right, so let's pray together. Now, Lord, for these women that we have laid hands on, we thank you. They truly are a gift from heaven, from you personally. You created them for us and have given them to us, and we bless you. Lord, for whatever's going on in their hearts right now, I pray that they can receive the love that you have to give to them right now. The love that'll come through us personally. Lord, as we lay hands on them and we ask your blessing on them, Lord, give them a gigantic blessing today. Some of them are discouraged, and we pray you'll bring encouragement. Lord, today, let the joy of the Lord be upon them. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And if you agree with this prayer, do you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Moms, you stay standing, please. And the pastor families are going to come deliver your flowers today. We have the gift. The carnation is the Mother's Day flower. So we'll deliver that to you personally right now.
Is everybody enjoying their carnations? I just want you to know, when Dusty was up there doing his little welcome, Tommy and I decided Dusty's like the country Seinfeld. Kind of like the redneck Seinfeld, isn't he? It just rambles on about nothing. But we laugh. We laugh. Yeah, I'm sure you wish you did have Seinfeld's money. The extra carnations are sitting right up here in a bucket. If you know of another mom that would like one, you're welcome to grab one after the service, okay? So they're right up here for all those who weren't paying attention. Because I know in our society, we pay little attention, especially after the first 10 seconds. Huh? That's right. Let's pray and let's see what God has for us. Lord, we thank you for today. We're going to open your word. You're going to speak to us. Back, Father, you already been speaking. Lord, we acknowledge today that this is the day the Lord has made. We get a choice whether or not we're going to rejoice in it. Your scripture says to rejoice in it, but God, we have a choice if we're going to rejoice in it, and I pray that we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on this Mother's Day, we're going to continue our sermon series on cleaning house. And today, I'm going to share a few thoughts and some scripture on sadness and joy. We're going to start out this morning by looking at the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And then we're going to look at some scriptures. How do we do this thing? Or how do we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to have a joyful attitude? Because I believe a lot of us, we just kind of muddle through life. We're just kind of going through the motions. We know what tomorrow's going to bring. So we're just going to kind of set the day and act in motion because tomorrow's going to be the same as it was last week. And then the next day, how much do we just kind of go through the motions? We've experienced some disappointments. We've experienced some losses. But how much have they impacted us? Do we believe that on this side of heaven, we can really experience joy? Not happiness, joy. You know what happiness is? James Barnes can testify to this. Me going to Six Flags, the gates open and they let us into the roller coasters. Because if the gates open, I'm at the front of the gate and I am running to the first roller coaster even with a boot on. You get in my way, you get ran over. I'm not kidding. That's happiness. But I'm not here to discuss the definition of joy. I'm here today to share with you a few thoughts that God does desire for us to go throughout life with joy being displayed. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? It says the Holy Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I believe one of the things today we cannot overlook is this. What a powerful testimony to the power of God that regardless of circumstances, if we can display joy. When you're tired and you're weary, when you're confused and when you're dazed, knowing that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. It can be my strength. And not just muddling through life. Not just punching a clock and walking through life like we're kind of in a daze. God has more force. And it's powerful. So let's begin this morning. This is Jesus going. Lazarus is getting ready to, he has sick, become sick and has passed away. And Jesus has a very tight relationship with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. So let's pick up the story in John 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last days." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Do you believe that?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have they laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. Does those words sound familiar? "Take away the stone." "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I think it's fair to say that for Mary and Martha, this was a sad event. Something happened to them. Something that maybe they couldn't anticipate, maybe they didn't really understand fully, but it happened to them. I believe so often in our lives, sadness is something that happens to us. Disappointments happen to us. Things happen to us outside our control. And we're often are times left with asking questions. By the way, God's not upset when you ask Him questions. Jesus asked questions. So ask questions, but be ready for the answer God gives you. We see this story very simply, as I just read it to you. Mary and Martha had a brother that was deceased, and they knew that Jesus could heal him. They knew that He could do something in their life to avoid the sadness. But Jesus had a plan in mind that was bigger than they could understand because it was about His Heavenly Father's plan. And in the middle of this sadness, Jesus shows up. Now you think about this for a second. You think it's over with. You've allowed a disappointment. You've allowed a setback. You've allowed something that didn't go your way to become what defines you. But God's saying, I'm willing to show up and not let this be the end of the story. That my Father in heaven has more. And as part of that is He has joy. I believe sometimes we have put joy as simply something we're waiting on for eternity. That we're not understanding that because of whose we are, that this is attainable right now in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our daily life. I want you to think for just a moment. The people that you spend time around. It could be family, friends, co-workers. It could be just where you go to hang out. I want you to think about something. How often is their countenance one of despair? How often is their countenance one of uncertainty? How often is one of their countenance one of living in the past of, I wish there was more to life? And when God is ready to show up, when Jesus is ready to show up. But I want you to know, I think this is one of the most powerful evangelistic tools there is. That in the middle of our life, that God is saying, you can have joy regardless of circumstances. That you can be more than that despair. You can be more than that setback. You can be more than that sadness. But understanding that God is desiring to be very near you and be very close to you and show Himself to you. Isn't it interesting in the story that when Jesus shows up to the town, He doesn't immediately go to Mary and Martha? I find that interesting. He stayed on the edge of town, waited for them to come to Him. It's not like He didn't know what they wanted. It's not like He didn't know what had happened. Jesus has His timing. God has a timing. And God can turn anything around. God can work in the middle of anything. But are we allowing Him to allow us to experience His joy in our life? I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about a passion for Him. So let's look at some things that are not necessarily in this story, but I'll reference this story as God leads me to this morning as we look at some other possibilities. Joy is the person of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question to think about. How many times did this week did you have some thought like this? If only this could have happened, or only if this would have happened, or if only I could do this, or only if I had more time or more money. If onlys. Instead of looking within what God has done in your life, we're looking for external things. We're looking outside ourselves. And this starts with 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you believe that today? No, really, do you really believe that? You believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. What's your joy quotient today? Do you really believe what Peter said to some followers of Christ up there? That you are receiving as an end result the salvation of your souls. Shouldn't that bring you joy? That this life isn't all there is? Let me tell you, if I thought this was all life had, some days I'd be cashing it in. I'd be cashing it in. But joy is related to a person. Mary and Martha were not waiting for somebody else to show up with a good plan. They were waiting for the resurrection and the life to show up. He has shown up in your life. Has He resurrected your sadness? Has He resurrected your despair? Has He resurrected your brokenness to say, but you can have joy? Real joy. Jesus is the person of Jesus Christ. Have you been looking for external ways to get joy when it's right here inside through those scriptures and many more? Number two, John. Joy within the body of Christ. This is the Apostle John writing in the second book of John. He says, I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. If you missed Dusty's sermon on absence and presence, you need to go online and listen to it. That Dusty did an awesome job passionately sharing. That's what that's talking about. I want to be with you because when I'm with you, we're sharing life together, and that brings me great joy. Great joy. How many times this week have you experienced joy through a relationship? Not, I'm talking about Jesus now. Through another relationship. Sharing life together. This isn't about John showing up and saying, let me give you a whole list of what to do and not to do. It's like we got to walk through life together so we can iron sharpen iron, so we can point it out together. If you're living in isolation, then I'm telling you right now, you're already missing out on some joy. You're missing out on some awesome joy. You're missing out on one of the avenues that God intended for you to experience joy. Sharing life together. Being in it together. Not isolating, but rubbing elbows. Crying together. Laughing together. Making fun of one another together. Encouraging one another. Joy within the body of Christ. If it's the way God intended and we're not doing it, then we're not going to experience it. Don't overthink this. It's not that difficult. Joy within the body of Christ. John. Joy through worship. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have ever redeemed. You know, one of the things that stands out in that scripture from Psalm 71 is this. My lips will shout for joy when I have all the money, the time, the energy, the strength, and everything I want. That's when my lips are going to shout for joy. You know what? That's the American way of following Christ. Let's ask our brothers and sisters around the world this morning that met in Woods and was wondering if someone was going to haul them away. Or they couldn't have a building. They were in Africa. They were meeting under trees. And they were singing to the loudest of their voices would carry. They were resonating, praising God. We were just singing hallelujah a few minutes ago. No, it says my lips are going to shout with joy. Period. I'm going to sing. And I'm going to praise Him. And I'm going to love on Him. Do you know that's an act of sacrifice? This isn't just about a doing. This is about a sacrifice that's made and says that when I do this, that Spirit comes up into me and part of that fruit, that Spirit displays and I feel joy. Feel overwhelming joy. Joy through worship. Joy is impacting others. What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. Hey, when you impact somebody else's life, speaking truth, truth and love, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them, lifting them up, that's a joy that's unspeakable. That is the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we're sending out curses and we're speaking death, that is death. This is life. This is a life that says, I know that I am not called to live just for me. I get an opportunity. I get the privilege of God using me by speaking the right word at the right time. I love that translation, the Good News translation. I love that translation. What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. Hey, how about all those people you and I try to avoid? Let's let God use us in their lives and see if we can speak into their life some way. Had an interesting thing happen this week. Ran into a gentleman at the Y. We got to speaking. He's a devout Muslim. And he was just telling me all kinds of things and whatever, you know. And the fact is, he never stopped talking. I'm used to that in my family. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But Dusty just said he mothers me. So how do you know I wasn't talking about him? Huh? Mm-hmm. My point being is, do you know what I've been thinking of since that encounter? Because literally, he never stopped talking. Okay. I got to introduce myself. Devout Muslim from India. He's 75 years old. But here's what's interesting. I've been thinking, God, that was not an accident, right? So God, give me the words to say next time when I get an opening, first of all. And second of all, God, make sure we get to see each other again. Because here's what I went away thinking. God loves him just as much as he loves me. He just hasn't discovered the truth yet. He's put all of his energy and all of his resources and all these other things into following a false God. Looking forward to being able when I can tell him, hey, I know who you follow. I'm a follower of Jesus. Looking forward to that. What a joy it is to find the right word for the right occasion. You might say today, I don't know what the right word with the right occasion is. Ask God to show you. Quiet yourself. Say, God, I want to be available. I want to be used. Give me the right word for the right occasion. John, the next one, please. Lasting joy is possible in every season when we follow God's truth. Love what it says in the Psalm. Pay close attention. Lasting joy is possible in every season when we follow God's truth. Do you really believe that, though? Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Now, let's pause there for a second. Let me ask you something. How do you spend your time and energy at work? Who have you surrounded yourself with? But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You know what, in essence, I'll just summarize that for you. Don't hang out with the darkness unless your plan on being the salt and the light. Don't hang out with darkness unless your plan on being a city on a hill. Don't hang out with darkness unless you're going to let that well, that water well of life, come up and out and overflow into the people around you. Don't hang around darkness if that's what's going to impact you and you not impact it. Because that last part of that verse talks about being a giver of life. What did Jesus say to Mary and Martha? They already knew who He was. Yeah, I know who You are, Jesus. And Jesus had to remind them one more time, I am the resurrection. This is not the final destination. This isn't it. Joy comes from being the water fountain of life. The joys of following the Word of God. The joys of following what God has been saying to us. Lasting joy is possible in every season when we follow God's truth. There's not a one of you that can hear my voice today that does not live in the reality that there's going to be another sadness or disappointment. We're going to experience some loss. There'll be some sadness. There'll be some setbacks. There'll be some questions. Okay? But let's remember ourselves, who we are, whose we are, and what do we go back to. This is building a foundation. This is building something that lasts beyond us. This is bigger than us. What are you imparting to our children? What are we imparting to our grandchildren? What are we imparting to those around us? When they ask the question, why do you always have that smile on your face? Well, I've got all the money and time and energy and strength I need. I just didn't have anything else to complain about, so I thought I'd smile today. That's not reality. That's just not reality. It is possible. It really is possible. And John, the last one. Joy transforms our difficult circumstances into times of blessing. So be truly glad. Do you believe this next statement? There is wonderful joy ahead. Because here's the tough part. You ready? Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You know what He's saying there? He's saying, you stick it out, you're going to be recognized. You love Him even though you've never seen Him. And though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a gladness and inexpressible joy. We need to own that. Inexpressible joy. All the uncertainty, all the what-ifs, the could-be's, the might-be's, and should-be's. There's a certainty, says, that Jesus is where He is, says He is, and that there's a God who loves us no matter what, and we have this Holy Spirit, and that there's days that we battle the flesh, the world, and the devil, and there's just some days we just screw it up and we don't make it. But we're going to get back up. Because the Holy Spirit in us is greater in us than He's in the world, right? And this joy is something that God has given us. It has given us. But you understand, it comes back to often these scriptures talk about a truth. When Jesus strolled into town, Mary and Martha and all the Jews, they thought He had come to mourn the loss of Lazarus. He had come to give life and give it abundantly. Those can't just be words to us today. If we're going to have joy that's beyond words, that if we're going to live a life in a world that is full of darkness and despair and sadness, it has to become a part of what we do on a regular daily basis. You know, I'd encourage us tomorrow to think about something. You can start this afternoon if you want to, but how about tomorrow at work? Why don't you make take Jesus to work day? Why don't you make it, I'm going to show Jesus at work tomorrow, regardless of circumstances, because joy transforms our difficult circumstances into times of blessing. I read a story this week about a lady. She had 12 kids. And this will tell you how long ago it was, probably, because I'm getting ready to tell you. After each meal, feeding those 12 knuckleheads, there were boys and girls, she would go pray. She only had one prayer. It was that each one of them would come to be true followers of Jesus Christ. She lived a long time. When she passed away, 10 of them had received Christ. The 11th one received Christ at 92 years old. 92. Before her death, they estimated that she had prayed for that son 84,315 times. Now, I want to ask you something. The story didn't say, but I'm just thinking. I'm just sharing my thoughts with you for a moment. Was the thought of her praying for her son to become a believer the joy that spurred her on? I believe it was the joy of getting to see her son that spurred her on. 84,315 times. I think she knows the definition of perseverance. 92 years old. That was the son, remember, not the mom. Mom had already had passed on, remember? Joy transformed our difficult circumstances into times of blessings. I don't know, but I know me. How many times did she go get ready to kneel on that bed and think, will he ever get it? Will he ever get it? Today doesn't matter. To her, it mattered. Every word she prayed mattered because there was joy in a person, the resurrection and the life. I'm asking you to take inventory of your house this morning. Is sadness, despair, brokenness, whatever words you want to put, I don't have all the words for you this morning. Is that what's kind of running your life, your emotions? Is that kind of what keeps you from experiencing the joy of the Lord? What keeps you from allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come up and out into the world that we live in? That fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23 or 24, if anybody wants to read it. But you know what always gets lost in that scripture? What Paul said right before that. Right before that. I'm going to paraphrase for you. Here's what Paul told the church in Galatia. Either you're going to live by the flesh or you're going to live by the Spirit. When he listed the flesh, he listed all kinds of very evil activities, very ugly, very immoral activities. But this, he said, this is the way of a follower of Christ. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. This morning, you got some cards. What is stirring on your heart this morning? Seriously, what is stirring on your heart? Where's the next thing that God is trying to speak to you about and show you? What keeps you from missing the joy of the Lord? Do you hold back thinking He might ask you to come down here and dance like Adrian? Did you know that's one of the things that so often we miss God from because we're always afraid of what He might ask you to do? Well, I'd encourage you just to do this. Be obedient with the last thing He asks you to do. And you never know. He might give you the gift of dance. I'm just saying, don't live a life of, what did I miss because I wasn't obedient? Live a life that says, I'm not going to allow circumstances to be what tells me how to live and experience the fullness of God. So where are you this morning? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What are you toying with? What are you wrestling with this morning? I'm going to pray for us. We'll open the altar. Gary, come on down. Quit making out with Lynn. Come on down. He always kisses Lynn before he comes up. So I'm really not I'm not making, well, maybe I am making it up a little bit. Kathy and I'll be here. Dusty, Audrey, Rick, and Regina will be down here to pray. This is you and God. This is God and you. This is personal. Until it becomes personal, you're just going to wrestle with it in your mind, and you're going to toy with it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you today that it's always personal to you. God, I thank you today that you are the imparter of life. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And that God, I am reminded what Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he spurned shame. He shoved it aside and said, joy comes from my Father and knowing Him. Lord, I pray today the things that you might be wrestling with, we might be wrestling with, that Holy Spirit, give us discernment. This time is for your glory and honor, Lord. The altar's open. You go ahead and be bringing your cards and your envelopes. You can pray with one of us or just somebody else that you feel you need to pray for. Maybe God's giving you a word for somebody else today. Your envelope's forward at this time. I remind everybody, Happy Mother's Day. And, you know, there might be somebody that you do need to call or text or go see today that just need to hear somebody say, hey, I took the time to come by and say Happy Mother's Day. Okay? As we get ready to send you out, praise God for you. Remember, tomorrow's Take Jesus to Work Day, okay? Lord, we thank you today for many, that mountain of blessings. And you know, God, fact is, so often I think we run past the mountain because we're looking for what we want, and you got the mountain of providing the need. So God, I pray today you give us fresh eyes and fresh ears and a heart of flesh to experience you for you. Blessings on you today. Honor to you today. Glory to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.